Now, I'm going to do something a wee bit maybe abnormal tonight. You know me, I've always the tricks up the sleeve. You don't know what I'm going to come out with. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles closed. At this moment in time, keep your Bibles closed. Now, I can see these boys in the front. Now, if I see anybody tonight peeping, I'll have you up here. I'll have you singing a wee song. Now, keep your Bibles closed, because I'll tell you what I want to do tonight. I want to see, can you guess the text that I'm going to preach from? Now, I'm going to give you a wee clue, first of all. Now, no peeping. If there's any sound Church of Ireland people in tonight, you have a head start. If there's any Church of Ireland people in here tonight, you have a head start, because you quote this text or sing this text every Sunday morning in your morning worship, during that wee part of your morning worship called the Venite. And you sing it and you quote it every Sunday morning. And it takes the Church of Ireland to do it too. I'm going to tell you something else about this text. It's the one of two texts tonight that appears four times in Holy Scripture. It appears once in the Old Testament, and it appears three times in the New Testament. Now, friends, if God has to say something four times, this must be an important text. You take the most well-known verse in the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The best known, the best loved verse in all of the Bible, but yet it only appears the once. You take Psalm 23, that psalm tonight that has been a comfort and a consolation to God's people down through the generations. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore shall I lack nothing. And yet, friend, that psalm only appears once in the all of Scripture. But my text tonight appears four times in the Bible. Four times. And friend, if it appears four times, it has got to be important to what God has got to say. I'm going to give you another clue. And the other clue is this. It's the one verse in the Bible where the Holy Spirit himself has given the credit as to speak it. Now, any guesses what my text is tonight? That's the other verse. What's the other one? That verse appears four times. That's the other verse. But that's not the verse. So you're not getting a sweetie, because you've got it wrong. Now, keep your Bibles closed. It appears in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. It appears in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And it appears again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. And it appears again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Anybody, any idea? Any Church of Ireland people in? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open to one of those chapters tonight. And we're going to open to Hebrews chapter 3. I thought the Lee Baptist was full of Bible scholars. Now, Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to turn this into a real good Church of Ireland meeting tonight. Because once we get the text, we're going to repeat this text twice over. Because this is something God really wants to get you a hold of tonight. Hebrews chapter 3. And come with me down to verse number 7. All right. We're going to read the two verses together. Now, I'm reading from the Authorized Version, and I'm going to read good and loud, and you follow with me. All right. After two. Ready? Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8. Ready? 1, 2. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, here's my text tonight. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, will you repeat that? Ready? Today, now listen, don't be whispering it. I don't mean a good, strong voice. You know, I can't have people going, hallelujah. I have to burst out with a good hallelujah. Now listen, say it the way the Church of Ireland said, for goodness sake. Put a bit of strength behind it. All right. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And friend, that's something that God says four times in Holy Scripture. Four times God says today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's something the Holy Spirit says today. If ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Do you know there's a text tonight and has got three things to say? Three things. First of all, this text declares a precious privilege. Do you know, I always thought when I was a wee nipper, you know what a wee nipper is about, Billy? You do. A wee nipper. When I was a wee nipper, I thought it must be a great thing to be a minister. I sort of changed my mind now a wee bit. But it must be a great thing to be a minister. Because when I was growing up, when I was only a wee nipper, I used to get visiting ministers at our church. And some of them used to say this, God spoke to me the other day. And they said, wouldn't that be a lovely thing? To hear God speaking to you. God spoke to me the other day, and he's given me a sermon to preach this morning. And I used to say, wouldn't it be lovely to be a minister, to be in the place where you could hear God's voice, and you can hear God speaking to you. Well now, friend, listen to me. God might not speak today the way he did in days gone by. He mightn't just speak to you and me the same way he spoke to Elijah. He mightn't speak today the way he spoke to Daniel. He mightn't just speak the way he spoke to the apostles. But we can still hear his voice. We can still hear his voice. You know what I believe? I believe with all my heart, without a shadow of a doubt. Since this mission began, men and women, perhaps some young person, has heard his voice. And maybe don't know that it's his voice. You say to me, George, how do we hear God's voice in our day and in our generation? How do we hear his voice? How do you hear his voice? This is where you'll hear his voice. You'll always hear his voice in Holy Scripture. God will always speak through his word. That's why, friends, we need to get back to the Bible. And this is why we need to get the Bible back central theme into our church services. God will always speak first and foremost through the Scriptures. Not the first time, friends. It won't be the first time, friend. And God spoke through the Scriptures. Do you know, friend, listen to me tonight. Are you listening? We are the most privileged people in the world to have a copy of the Scriptures. You know, there's people in our world today never had a Bible in their hand. They never knew what it was to open the Scriptures. And yet in our wee province today, shelves are sitting packed with Bibles and they're never opened. Never opened. And yet, friend, it's from the Scriptures we can hear God's voice. You go tonight to the book of Acts. Now, don't be turning. I'm going to just tell you the story. In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, you'll find a man reading the Scriptures. And he's called the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading the Scriptures one day. He was coming home from Jerusalem. And he happened to pull the chariot in. And he began to open the Bible. He began to open the Holy Scriptures. Now listen, friends. The Scriptures tonight is no ordinary book. This is God's Word tonight. These scriptures are God-breathed. These scriptures are inspired. So no wonder we hear God's voice from the scriptures. And the Ethiopian eunuch one day was coming home from Jerusalem from his place of worship, and he pulled the chariot in one day. I'm going to read the scriptures, he says to himself. And I can tell you the very place where he opened the scriptures to. He opened the scriptures at the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. And he began reading through Isaiah 53, and he came to verse 7 and 8. And he got stuck at verse 7 and 8. Do you know what Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8 says? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And you know, friend, the Ethiopian eunuch heard his voice. And then we have a man called Philip. Philip comes in the scene. But even though the Ethiopian eunuch heard his voice, he couldn't understand just fully what it was. And then Philip the evangelist came along. Now, an evangelist is a unique creator. We're good looking. Do you not think so? If you think I'm good looking, say amen. Not too many of you think so. Now, what's an evangelist? What kind of a person is an evangelist? He's a unique person. And Pastor Kennedy knows this. An evangelist is a person who can take God's word and preach it in everyday language that people can understand it. Now, not everybody can do that. And I'm not saying I'm a mighty evangelist. I left school at 15 years of age. 15. I went into school stupid and I came out of it thick. And I came out of school, not one qualification do I have, not even 11 plus. I was the bottom of the class. Do you know something? When I got my final school report, do you know where it was filed? It was filed in the back of the fire. But Philip comes along. Philip's the evangelist, remember. And Philip saw a mighty move of God in Samaria, but God took him out of Samaria and brought him to this man as he was sitting reading in the chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, "Who is this man talking about? Is it the prophet or somebody else?" And what did Philip preach unto him that day? He preached unto him Jesus. That's the message evangelists preach, Jesus. And he brought this man to the cross, and he was able to explain to this man what it was that the prophet was saying. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter when they walked him up Calvary's hill. And as a sheep was dumb before her shears, so he opened not his mouth when they stripped him and when they crucified him. And he preached unto him Jesus. And through the scriptures and through Philip, then he heard God's voice and he got saved. And not only did he get saved, he got baptized that day. You'll always hear his voice through the scriptures. Always. We have a friend, Tracy and I, we used to know a number of years ago, called Graham Lowther. Graham Lowther was a prisoner in the Mays prison for terrorist activity. Graham was an orphan. He could neither read nor he couldn't even write. And one day Graham lifted the Bible in the Mays prison yonder in Belfast in the Loyalist wing, and Graham opened his Bible, just opened the Bible. He couldn't read a thing at Numbers 32 and verse 23. But he knew enough to knew what it said. And this is what he heard. "Be sure your sin will find you out." And that's all he could read. But it was enough, because Graham heard God's voice that day. And Graham called for the padre of the wing. And the padre came. And the chaplain. And the chaplain came and led Graham to the Lord. Now, I don't know whether you know who David Suchet is. David Suchet is an English actor. He plays Agatha Christie's Poirot. Do you know who I'm talking about? Poirot. David Suchet was a man who was never brought up under any religion. There was no spiritual background whatsoever. One night, David Suchet was staying in a London hotel. And David Suchet took out the Gideon's New Testament and opened it at Romans chapter 8. And David Suchet heard God's voice. Do you know David Suchet got saved, and today he's the vice president of the Bible Society in England? And he done two great episodes on the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. There were great episodes. And friend, tonight, listen to me. You will always hear God's voice through the Scriptures. And there's three things the Scriptures will always point out. The first thing the Scriptures will always point out is God's Son. The Scriptures will always talk to you about God's Son. God's Son tonight, whom He sent from heaven. God's Son, who was crucified to an old rugged cross. God's Son, who suffered and shed His blood there and died. God's Son, who took your place. God's Son, who took my place. God's Son, who took our place tonight. God's Son. And Holy Scripture will always teach us that the Lord Jesus, the God's Son, didn't stay on the cross. Neither did He stay in the grave. Holy Scripture tells us tonight that God's Son rose again from the dead, and tonight He's a living Savior. And He's still saving, I'm telling you. He's still saving. And glory to God, He could save you tonight. You know, no wonder Pastor Kennedy sings with a smile on his face. I wish we had more pastors like him. Yeah, you see more men in pulpits today, and they're singing, and they sing every chorus to the tune that the old cow died with. Do you ever hear them sing? Well, have that wee chorus. You know the wee chorus? You ever see someone? Well, have that wee chorus. We're going to sing it now. We're singing it in the Spirit. Joy. Joy, my heart is filled with joy. And honest to goodness, there's no more joy in it than anything. You know, friend, the Lord Jesus is alive today. He still speaks today. He still saves today. He still changes lives today. Glory to God, He's still satisfied. I'm 33 years saved now. 33 years past there in August. And I can prove to you tonight, none but Christ can satisfy. In another name for me, there's love and there's life and there's everlasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. Oh, friend, He's the source of all joy. But I'll tell you something else the Scriptures will point out. The Scriptures will point out sin. And not only point out God's Son, it'll always speak to you of your sin. You know what your sin is tonight? Your sin is the spiritual cancer that you were born with. Everybody's born with sin tonight. Listen, nobody becomes a sinner. Will you get that tonight? Nobody becomes a sinner. Everybody, whether you're righteous or whether you're rebellious, whether you're good or whether you're bad, whether you're wonderful or whether you're evil, you were born a sinner. You never become a sinner. And tonight, every person born into this world, myself included, was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But the Holy Scriptures teach me tonight, it teaches me that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Boys, I was never as glad to hear the group sing tonight, sins are under the blood. That's where my sins are tonight. And glory to God, the moment my sin went under the blood, you know what God promised me? Your sin and your iniquity will I remember no more. They're gone forever. And even though the old devil, the rascal that he is, He'll always bring them up before me. But he can't bring them up before God. That's the power of the blood tonight. And scriptures tonight, when it only talk about God's Son and your sin, they'll always speak to you concerning the way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's too many people in the north of Ireland think salvation's in a church. Salvation's not in a church. Salvation tonight is not in a preacher or a pastor or a priest. Salvation is in a person tonight. That person is the Lord Jesus. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him we owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he can wash it white as snow. A precious privilege tonight. Do you know, you can hear God's voice through the scriptures. You can hear God's voice through situations. Many a hardened man I knew, and they heard God's voice not through the scriptures, they heard it through situations. They heard it when a coffin was brought into the home. I heard it when cancer came to the body. God speaks, friend. He speaks through the scriptures. His voice can be heard in situations. His voice can be heard through his servants. God's voice can be heard through singers. My good friend, Pastor Trevor Gillanders, do you know how he heard God's voice? He heard God's voice by listening, sitting in his home, 24 Tully Estate in Monaghan. Do you know how he heard God's voice? Through the singing of Jim Reeves. And sitting in 24 Tully Estate in Monaghan town across the border, Trevor heard God's voice through the singing of Jim Reeves. Two songs. Have thine own way, Lord. That was the first. The second song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And there sitting in his living room, kneeling at the couch or the sofa, the settee, whatever way you want to call it, he got wonderfully saved. God will always speak through his servants. You'll always hear God's voice, listen, through the scriptures. You'll always hear God's voice through situations, and you'll always hear God's voice through his servants. You know, any person or most people that I have led to the Lord over the years, you know the first thing they tell me? They tell me that it was as if they're the only person sitting in the meeting. One Sunday night in my own church, I preached on the text found in Mark 12, verse 34, where it said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And I remember how the Lord opened that message for me that night. And the question I asked was, how close can you get to the kingdom of God and end up in the fires of hell? And there's a real stillness fell over the meeting. And I was standing shaking hands at the door. And this young lady came and she held my hand and she couldn't let go. And I said, are you all right, love? She says, I need to speak to you. I got everybody out of the church, and Tracy and myself got her into the back row. And the three of us sat down together, and you know the thing she said? She said, you were preaching tonight if I was the only person in this whole building. You know what I said to her? I said, that's not me. That's not my voice. That's God's voice. And I'll never forget that Sunday night. And Tracy and myself both were led her to the Lord. And today she's even been on mission trips. And I wonder Have you been in this mission so far and you went out through that door saying to yourself, does that big man know all about me up there? Because he was speaking directly to me. Listen, as young David said, it's not my voice that you've heard, it's God's voice. And that's a very precious privilege. But that text tonight not only declares a precious privilege, it talks about a perilous possibility. And this is the bit I'm afraid of tonight. You know what it says? Today, if ye hear his voice. Now, what's the perilous possibility? The perilous possibility is this thing, that you might harden your heart. That's the perilous possibility. And I can tell you tonight, friend, you can harden your heart tonight against the speaking voice of the Almighty. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, friends. Pharaoh heard his voice 10 times and hardened his heart. Judas Iscariot heard it 7 times. 7 times the Lord warned him. Do you know what the Lord Jesus told him? The better if you've never been born. An unsaved friend tonight, listen. Do you see if you sit in this gospel mission and you've heard his voice and you've hardened your heart and you die unsaved, listen, it would have been better if you had never been born. Hearts can get hard. When I left school at 15, I went to work for Derek Loan. You've heard more about Derek Loan this week than you've heard in a lifetime. And I remember one of the other garage mechanics, Henry Bell, was working on a Hillman Avenger. Do you remember the Hillman Avengers? You do? Hands up if you remember the Hillman Avengers. Pensioners. I was only a young cub. The Avengers were going out at that time. And we're putting an exhaust on it. But there's an old exhaust bracket, and we're trying to get it off and couldn't get off. So Henry, he heated it with the settling. And he got it red hot, and he got it screwed off, and he hit it a smack with a hammer and fell on the ground. And so we got the new exhaust, and we put the new exhaust into the old exhaust. And he says, George, lift up that the old bracket there and give it to me. And I lifted the bracket up, and oh, it near took the skin of me. It was so hot, it near took the skin of me hand. My wee soft putty hands. He says, what's wrong? He says, Henry, the thing's red hot. Ah, oh, come here a minute. And he lifted it up in the head. That's not hot at all. Here, hold it, he says. Now, you think once bitten, twice shy. Hold it there now till I get this on. And I took it up, me being stupid. I took it off his hand again. And Henry, you can lift that yourself. I can tell you, when you hit a Tyrone man twice, you not hit him the third time. He says, Henry, you pick it up. I'll hold the exhaust. You pick it up. He picked it up, no problem at all. Head in his hand, pushed it over it and twisted it and got it into shape. Now, why, friend? What was the difference? Henry's hands got hard. Henry's hands were used to it. Didn't hurt his hands anymore. My wee soft hands were never used to it. It was the first time these wee soft hands felt anything like it. Do you know it's the same with the gospel, sir? Your heart tonight has been softened. Your heart tonight is soft. Maybe you're here at this mission and you've never heard this before. And you went out through them doors troubled. You've never felt anything like it before. And maybe in nights gone by, you might have smiled at me in the door. Ach, it's lovely to be here. Thank you very much. Good night. Good night. Good night. But you went out through them doors troubled. And what you heard was the last thing that you were thinking before you went to sleep, and it's the first thing you were thinking about when you woke up in the morning. And what you've been hearing has been troubling you. And listen, it has hurt you. Don't you harden your heart against what you've been feeling, friends. And don't you be hardening your heart against what you've heard. You know why? All too soon you become hardened. It doesn't take the same effect. There was a TV program on there a number of months ago about serial killers in America. Pierce Morgan asked the fella, "Tell me, were you not troubled over the first person you shot?" He says, "I had sleepless nights over it. Sleepless nights." He says, "The second time I done it," he says, "I had sleepless nights again. And I kept on doing it," he says. "To me now, it was just like going out shooting a dog. Didn't trouble me." There's many like that tonight who have sat night after night under the power of God through the preaching of the gospel, and tonight it doesn't affect them. What does the book of Proverbs say? We need to get back to the Bible again. The book of Proverbs 29 verse 1. "He being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy." Do you see the perilous possibility in the text tonight? Do you remember Felix? Boys, Felix trembled. When Paul preached to him tonight, when he preached righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he trembled. The living daylights were scared out of him. Felix made a mistake. "Some more convenient day I'll call." And I'm finished now. Because this text talks about a present proposition. Today. Today, if you hear his voice. Today. Nowhere, anywhere, from Genesis to Revelation, are you guaranteed tomorrow. It's always today. Today, if you hear his voice. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is today the day of salvation. It's always today. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Never you let your heart become used to the sounds of the gospel. Never let your heart become used to the power of God's convicting through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never you get used to it. And tonight, if you're in this meeting and you have left this building troubled, and you have left this building afraid, and you have left this church fearful, well, tonight is the night you need to get it right. And leave it no longer, I'm telling you. 4 times, not once, not twice, not even 3 times, 4 times. God's cry to the sinner's heart is, today, if ye hear my voice, harden not your heart, but come to me while I'm striving with you. Will you come tonight?